And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to this edition of our Home Improvement Show, always presented by Lindus Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. Always got to spell it. That's kind of a tradition right now. Andy Lindus taking the day off. Our pal Luke Panic, the deck and porch specialist, among other things, a guy who wears a lot of hats there at Lindus, is filling in for Andy again today. Luke, good morning.
Morning, Danny. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hope you are, too. You and your family. Happy New Year to you and the fam. And I wanted to ask you there. You've been in the business for a while, and I always like to say that with new listeners every week, and we appreciate that, some of whom may have not heard you on the show before, and some of you want to know who this Luke Panic guy is. I call him a deck and porch specialist, but you were a guy that actually grew up in the construction business, did you not?
Yes, from a very young age, I was on job sites with my dad and my grandpa building homes. So I've been around it quite most of my life.
And you've built your own stuff too, right?
Yep. Many projects of my own that I've done, both for to live in myself and for vacationers. So that's been my passion on the weekends.
On the weekends, you're always busy. So I just want to alert our listeners, if you have any kind of a home improvement question, and we're not going to limit it certainly to decks or porches, but while Luke is with us, if you have any kind of, people love their decks, we know that, and their porches for that matter. So if you have any kind of a question related to those, this is your chance to zero in on that particular topic. Or if you have any other home improvement question, Luke can certainly handle those as well. The number is the same, either for a phone call or text, 651-461-9226. Again, you've been in the business a long time. I wanted to ask you about the decks. What have you seen over your career, the changes that you've seen in just decks and the materials and the like? What are some of the changes?
Well, probably the biggest change in decks, I would say, over, I've been involved with decks since about 2000, so 25 years or so. Probably the biggest change is the materials that are available to us. Specifically, the biggest changes is the decking that we can use with all the different types of synthetic boards that are available. And then just as important is the lumber that we're framing decks out of has changed a lot. It used to be just green treated outdoor lumber. Now we have kiln-dried treated lumber, and there's manufacturers making metal frames. There's a manufacturer that makes steel frames, and there's a manufacturer that makes aluminum framing. So the materials are the big change, and they keep evolving, as in most businesses and most parts of construction. So those are the biggest changes we see.
Do those changes, Luke, make for easier work for the builders of these decks, for the construction guys?
Not necessarily. Lumber is probably, regular wood is probably the easiest to work with. So along with new technologies in the materials, you have to understand and learn how to work with those new materials. You need different tools, the different fastening systems. So they've become more complex in understanding how they relate to one another. So the way that we install decking on lumber when it's synthetic versus wood makes a difference. So I would say that it hasn't made it easier. It's made it all that more important to know exactly how those things need to be installed so that they perform as expected.
What about the maintenance now? You and I have, for years, have talked about various stains and cleaners and brighteners, conditioners, and all of that. What would be the percentage? How many people still want a wood deck of various materials and to maintain it? It's got to be relatively small, I would think.
Yeah, it is unusual, and I typically can talk somebody out of that. They're afraid of the cost of a synthetic deck, and it has to be the right setting. Maybe you're adding onto a deck that's already wood, and so it doesn't make sense to switch. Or there's some nostalgic value that they just enjoy the softness of wood. There are a few of those. It's less than 5%, but it's just a commitment to, some people don't mind the maintenance and they actually enjoy it. So it's not me. The ones I have that I have to take care of, I wish I didn't have to take care of them, but It's pretty rare, Denny.
What I was thinking, because you've shown me pictures, you have a beautiful deck at your home, and you have to maintain it. If you sometime, and you wouldn't have to do that down the road for a long time, but your next deck, what would it be if you had to change it tomorrow?
My next deck, if I was to, well, and at some point I will, I have some older wood decks on a couple of two cabins, and if I switch, I will switch them to specifically millboard in what's called the antique oak, because I think it looks the most realistic. It looks like wood like no other synthetics do. Or I would use this. My second choice for that, if I really want that wood look, would be an AZEK product called Vintage that has a nice graining that looks natural, in my opinion. So those are the ones that I like. And at some point, we'll have to switch a couple of wood decks that I have to that.
What about railing systems, whether you do it yourself or what does Lindus offer? What have you seen people go for as far as railings?
Well, typically, and most commonly, the question I ask people when we're talking about railing is, do you want to see what's beyond the railing? Do you want to see the view in the backyard or the front yard or wherever the deck's going? Or do you want to see the railing? If you want to see the railing, then we do usually a lighter color, which is unusual because most of the time people want to see the turkeys in the backyard or the pool or the golf course or whatever they're looking at. And you want to be able to see through the railing. So a black railing, a dark colored railing with a minimal baluster and a minimal top and bottom rail allows you to see what's beyond. So we usually recommend a powder coated black railing system that allows you to see what's beyond the deck. Definitely.
And it's so much better with no maintenance or low maintenance. There's not much maintenance at all with those kind of railings, right?
Yeah, we advise that you wash them, you know, maybe spring and fall just to give them a bath and rinse off the dust and the pollen that settles on them. But that's it, just keep it clean.
Yeah. Let's grab a phone call. Luke, Greg, checking in from Golden Valley this morning. Thank you, Greg. What's your question for Luke?
Yeah, morning, guys. Say, I love your show. Say, I've got a cedar deck that's about 35 or 36 years old, and it's just starting to go now. What's the best way for me to get those boards up? They were not screwed in, they were nailed.
Well, Greg, that is a blessing because nails come out typically a lot easier than screws. So if you're going to, you're going to replace the cedar decking, or you're just going to replace a few boards, or what's your plan?
I think I'm going to replace the boards because it wouldn't look right with, you know, new boards and then old boards, but I can't afford the cedar. I can't afford the cedar right now. What they cost, $150 a board or something. So I'm going to go with brown treated. That'll last another 25 years. I'm 68 years old. I won't be around. So I just want to make it look good again.
Okay. Well, Greg, what I would do if I was you, you can go ahead and I would try to pull those nails out from the top. They're back 35 years ago. It could be a heavy 16 penny nail. If you can't pull them out from the top with like a traditional cat's paw, is it high enough off the ground that you can get some, you can bang on the boards from the bottom?
Yeah, it's about 3.5-4 feet off the ground.
Yeah, so it may be possible to get under there with a kind of a sledgehammer and push them up from the top, or be able to pry on the boards from the bottom side. That's another way. If you get
like
stubborn nails,
like
it's
a big, okay,
like a maul, yeah. Okay. And a lot of times, if you can just get them started, then you can just get them started, and then you can grab onto the head of that nail from the top. A lot of times cedar is pretty soft, so that nail doesn't want to move when it's been in a joist for 35 years. So don't be prepared that you're probably going to need to have a sawzall on hand with a metal cutting blade that you can cut a few nails off the top. That's not a big deal, because if you leave that nail in that wood, it's not the end of the world. So if you have a few stubborn ones that you can't get out, you can just saw them off flush with the top.
make sure that you look at the joist good to see, because it's 35 years old. You may want to sister or put a new joist next to an old one if you think it's compromised. And then the last thing I would suggest to you is take a peek at some treated wood. If you're going to get treated wood, is fine for decking, but you can find treated wood that's been kiln dried instead of just wet brown treated. When you buy wet brown treated wood, it has about 70% moisture, so it's extremely wet. And when you install, it's going to shrink and crack a lot. It's going to be difficult to hold in place. So I would look at what's called kiln dried treated pine. It's called KDAT. Your lumber yards can get it for you. It's not terribly expensive. And it has all the benefits of treated wood. It's just more stable. So it's already kind of like millwork for you inside of your house. They've already reduced the moisture content down to about 15%. It's much easier to work with. It's lighter in weight. And it'll stay looking a lot, it'll move less, and it's easier to treat right away because you don't have to wait for 4 years for it to dry out.
Excellent.
Okay, the other quick question I had was, I did go underneath the deck with a good-sized hammer and kind of pounded on the foundation of it, and it all seems pretty good, pretty solid, and I think that's because it's up off the ground enough where it's getting air circulating around it.
Sure. Good. Yeah. Right. Just, you don't want to go through all that process and have a spongy corner or something. So that's why I just want to make sure that the joists are in good shape.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for the call. Great question. All right, Luke, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. Be back on the other side. Any kind of a home improvement question, could be about decks, could be about any home improvement project you may have, for Luke Panic from Linda's Construction. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to this portion of our home improvement show presented by Linda's Construction, of course. And if you're just joining us, Andy taking the day off, Andy Linda's that is. Luke Panic is back filling in for Andy, their deck and port specialist, among other things. Luke, we were talking about the changes in decks, decking materials. But for those that still need to maintain a wood deck, have those, and you and I and Andy have talked for years about various stains and protectors. Has that changed a lot, or is there still the usual subjects around there as far as at hardware stores, usually the Ace hardware stores for certain products that I've used in the past? But has that changed?
It has changed, and this has been an ongoing, and I presume it will continue to be an ongoing discussion as they come out with better coatings. But right now, I've now done two of my decks, three actually. My son Bauer did our deck at home, but this is the first time we've put a finish on that. I was just talking with Greg about that kiln dried treated pine. And I put that decking on in 2016 at our new house. And this past fall was the first time that I put a finish on it. And I decided to put a finish on it because it was just really weathered and an uneven. Because part of the deck is in the front of the house, part of the deck is covered on the side of the house, so it had a variation. So I negotiated some tuition scholarship money from my son for school, and he agreed to do the washing and the restaining of it. So he pressure washed it, as we talk about. I used a conditioner brightener to clean it up, and that made wonders right there, just with the brightener conditioner. And then he put down the Australian timber oil. It's made by Cabot, specifically that Australian timber oil. And it looks absolutely gorgeous. And I've done that now. This is my third time. I have it on two other decks, and I've got good 3 or 4 years out of that first one that I did. Still looks great. So I'm pretty happy with that product. And that's available at just any stores that carry paint usually have the Cabot's product. So my hat's off to them for coming out with that Australian timber oil.
Now, you mentioned your son using a pressure washer. What advice would you give folks that this coming spring? Well, I heard Luke say you could use a pressure washer on my wood deck. All right. How do we do that carefully?
Yeah. And so I would say that the pressure washer was not used when you're using a brightener conditioner. You don't need to use the pressure of the water to do anything other than get the deck wet.
So
literally a regular garden hose. You don't want to be using that to clean a pine deck.
You want to use it just to help direct the water as you're rinsing, but you don't really don't need to use a pressure washer if you're going to use a brightener conditioner, because that, as soon as it gets on there, you see it start to foam and it starts to do what it does, and it's just, it does the mechanical work for you. So, you know, probably the longest, or what was took them the most time, was getting between the boards on top of the joist. That little notch it creates is getting the, because we have oak trees around our house that are dirty trees. So the debris that's in between the deck boards, getting that out of that little crotch that's created by the joist in between the two deck boards is the most of the work that you had to get down there and use a putty knife or a chisel or something just to scrape it out of there. But that was the most work. But the washing of it, you know, those chemicals that they make for that purpose just really work great.
Here's a question we get, as you know, this time of year from listeners. A listener says, some years I shovel the deck, the snow off the deck. Some year, this year I have not. Is that a good or bad idea? What is your thought about? Is there a need to shovel that snow? And sometimes ice off.
I like to just to stay ahead of it. And I like to keep the snow off the deck. It's not something that has to be done for the safety of the deck or anything else. It's just I don't like walking on it and packing it down. So it depends on. And we have to walk on our deck as an entry. We have three different doors that go out. And so you can, you know, they're travel paths to get other places, and we have dogs that we let out, so I have to keep mine shoveled off, and other, well, we do it together, but there's not a need to for, when we structurally design decks, they're designed to hold a snow load, so it's not necessarily something that you have to do, but it's a good idea if you are able.
Luke Paddock is with us this morning, filling in for Andy Lindis, and I'm looking at a texter who wants to know, heard you mentioned that Millboard product a bit ago. Basically, they're saying, what's so good about it? What do you like about it?
Well, you can Google Millboard. What's unique about it is the way that they emboss the surface. Most of the extrusions, deck boards are extruded out of an extruding machine, either, whether it's cellular PVC or a composite. And the texture that's put into it is put by a roller. That pattern repeats itself all the way down the board, however big the roller is. And what Millboard does is unique is they emboss the top. So they take and they use white oak boards that have natural oak grain in them, and they press that a real oak board into the top of the board while it's curing. And so you get an actual wood board that does it. And what that gives you over the, and they use four different boards, so not all board has the same pattern in it. So when you lay out those deck boards across the deck surface, you can see different graining and different, it creates different shadow lines. It looks the most realistic, like you actually stained a bunch of boards. And because boards take stain a little bit differently over each board, it has that natural variety of look to it. So that's what's key to Millboard and why it looks different. If that's an authentic look that you're looking for, there's nothing that duplicates it as well.
And you said you at your house, it's kind of a walkway there. Is, as far as I know, I'm anticipating listener questions. Is it slippery? Is Millboard a slippery surface? Can it be?
No. It's the that's most great. Grippy. And that's the other thing I have people do is I'll put the, when I'm in their home, is I'll have them feel the surface and put your foot on it and step on a little piece of it, and you'll feel how it's grippy. And it's a really good product to use on a dock. So I have it on docks at the cabins because it's so nice on the feet.
Oh yeah,
right around pools, so it's not slippery where you're going to constantly be getting wet. It's nice on bare feet, so it's got a great finish for that as well. And actually, you know, Denny, all the boards have to meet their ADA requirement for slip resistance, so none of the boards are slippery, but some, not all of them have the same level of grip to your foot either. Oh, yes. So it's just something you should really look at and see and try for yourself.
Yeah, those are great applications for that. I tell you what, it was going to break, and we'll do so, but I want to grab a phone call before we do so. I don't want to leave folks hanging on the line. Kurt calling in from Hayward, I believe. Thank you, Kurt. What is your question for Luke Panic?
It's not about decks, but it's a remodeling project that we're looking into. And my wife wants to get the spackling off the off the ceiling. And I was wondering if there's a good way to do that, that you could do it yourself.
Yes.
It's messy.
It's messy. The project takes, you got a lot more labor hours in prepping the room than you do actually doing the work. But after you've masked off all the walls and the floor and you got the room empty, they sell taping knives that have a kind of a long handle on them, and that you can get them 18, 16, even 24 inches wide to scrape that stuff off. You can use a pump sprayer, like a Hudson sprayer, to dampen that. Just spray a little mist on it so that it softens it up a little bit, and then scrape it off. You can try scraping it off dry, but it's pretty dusty. So if it was me, I like to just dampen it a little bit and then scrape that off. And then if you want to do a skim coat to get it smoother, you can. Or if you're happy with how it looks once you've got that all scraped off, then you can go ahead and prime it and paint it. So you're going to need some elbow grease, and it's above your head, so it's a mess, and it gets down the back of your shirt, and you're going to get it in your ears, and it's a mess, but I've done it. It can be done for sure.
Yeah, I've done it a few times, not often, fortunately, but wear a big hat, first of all.
Yeah, a sombrero. Right.
A sombrero would work. Yeah, hang on, Luke. We're going to take a break for weather and we'll come back. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, we're not limiting it to decks or porches. We want to talk about porches when we come back, though. Any home improvement question, we welcome yours, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Weather's next here, News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And, of course, welcoming any kind of a home improvement question you may have, if you have specifically a deck or porch question, even nicer, because Luke Panic, filling in for Andy Lindis today. Luke is their deck and porch specialist there at Lindis Construction. Call it in or text it in, 651-461-9226. Luke, I'm looking at a text that says, I know Lindis has their favorite composite, but have they ever looked into a product made in Painesville called Armadillo. Have you ever heard of such a product?
I have not heard of Armadillo. It's got a catchy name. I like that about it.
Yeah. It says, we have used it on our deck built 3 years ago. No complaints. Never have to clean it. Has not faded. So that comes from Bob in Painesville, Minnesota. Local product. Oh, thanks for that. There's a tip. Armadillo brand. Maybe we can check it out. Another listener says this, Luke, good morning, love the show. Thank you for that. Another option for deck railings, they say, is metal top and bottom with glass panels. I think you've talked about that. They stay clean and always look great. What do you think of that comment?
I think that's true. If for the right application, glass can be great. You just need to be comfortable with cleaning glass. If you like cleaning glass, you're going to love it. I mean, there's no substitute for that. So it's the best view you can get, for sure.
Luke, I just see a follow-up to that. Lindis installed one for them in 2021, so they must love it. Of course they do. Again, you've talked about it. If you, you don't have to talk about decks. Any kind of a home improvement question will do here at CCO 651-461-9226. Is it safe? Sounds like the movie Marathon Man. Is it safe to put ice melt on a wood deck? I also have a pet that needs to go outside, but with this freeze-dry weather, that's been happening. The ice is still standing on the deck. What about ice melt on decks? It's a good question. On a wood deck.
Well, yes. It is certainly better to not slip and use that than having a slippery deck. So for sure, if it's slippery, put some ice melt on there as soon as you can in the spring. Wash that off. You're going to see the salt deposit on the boards for sure. So you want to get that salt off. That is tough on wood. It's tough on concrete. It's tough on anything. It's tough on our cars. Great on your steak, but other than that, you want to keep salt off your home improvement products.
Yeah. You and I have talked for years about decks and porches. What has come down the pike porch-wise? What are people asking Lindis to do with their porch requests these days?
Well, it seems to be one of two things, either three-season or four-season. Last week, it seemed to be three-season week. I did several designs for three-season rooms where we enclose them. They're not heated and cooled, but we use our extend porch window system so that it feels like you're sitting out there having a cup of coffee. You can hear the birds chirping. You know, you get a little bit more of the outdoor setting. That's probably more common than doing the four seasons, but we get a fair bit of those as well.
You and I have talked about that, people choosing three season and then down the road, not too far down the road. In fact, they say, well, maybe we should have made this a four season. How can you modify a three? How is it done to modify a three season porch into an almost four season, if it can be done?
It can be done. And typically the loading or the frame structure is already adequate because the load rating for your footings and your joists and your frame are going to be the same for a three season and a four season, unless you throw in a stone fireplace or something. Basically the difference is getting all of the different surfaces, the floor, the walls, and the attic up to the energy code requirements for insulating, and then putting in insulated or exterior glass windows and doors. So that's the process. And some three season rooms are easier to do that too, because that was thought of ahead of time. And sometimes it's a little harder if you got to take all the paneling off the walls or the cedar off the walls or whatever's on the walls to do that. It can be a little bit more laborious, but that's basically the difference is, will this thing hold heat or will it not? And so we got to get an R25 in the floor, we got to get an R13 in the walls, and we got to get an R42 in the attic, and then you've got yourself a four season room.
I was talking, it's funny you should talk about insulation. I was talking to a listener the other day about insulation, and they listen to the show obviously, and I wanted to ask you, because you deal with cabins and other construction, other homes, your own home. What have you been insulating? Let's talk about those cabins specifically up north. What do you use? What materials do you find the best there?
Well, I did insulate one myself, and my father helped me. And after we did it, we both agreed that was the dumbest thing we've done in a while.
Why is that?
The reason is that in this case, I remodeled a very basic Rambler cabin, had a very straightforward attic, and it was insulated with fiberglass batting. That's all that was up there. It was like maybe 6 inches or not much. And so after I'd done the remodel, I wanted to blow in and add insulation on top of it. So I put poly in the rooms where I could when I redid the ceiling, so I had my vapor barrier. I added the attic chutes, and then I blew cellulose over the top. Now, up there, especially in a remote cabin, in the fall, all the mice want to infiltrate the thing, so you want to use anything that is deterrent, as much of a deterrent to mice as possible. And so that's why I use cellulose up there. And so we rented the machine from Home Depot in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, and we bought a bunch of cellulose. And oh my gosh, what a mess! I was dressed up like Darth Vader with the suit and the mask and the once you start blowing that stuff, I mean, it's immediately just dust. You can't see 3 feet. What a disaster! Not something I would ever do again. I did get it done, but vowed I would never do that again. I'd much rather rent a floor sander and sand a deck than get up in an attic and blow that stuff. So just never ever consider doing that, Denny.
But that product you said is for a good reason. Type is kind of a, it may not be a repellent, but the mice really don't like that over like fiberglass, right?
Yeah, that's right. They love fiberglass. My garage at home has a detached garage with fiberglass in it, and I got a different battle there. They've set up a whole infrastructure in a metropolitan area in the attic up there, because when they run through it, that hole that they create or the nest that they do, it stays. It's because that fiber structure holds their tunnel so they can create their highways. But the cellulose doesn't do that. It's very powdery and it collapses, and they don't like it as much. So,
Luke, I'm looking at a text. We're going to take a quick break here, but I'm looking at a text, and we can follow up when we come back after the break. They want to know what your opinion on these, what they call under-deck ceiling systems. Maybe when we come back, you can explain what they are and maybe your opinion of those. Describe them and all that stuff when we come back. Luke Panik filling in for Andy Lindis on our Home Improvement Show. You have any kind of a home improvement question, love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, of course. This is WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Home Improvement Show presented by Lindis Construction. You want to give them a call. Maybe you have a project in mind. Keep in mind that first visit, maybe it's insulation. Maybe it's a new deck or a porch. Or new windows, maybe. That first visit, always free. And you get so much good information. Give them a call this coming week if you have a project in mind. 844-9-LINDUS, L-I-N-D-U-S. If you're just joining us, Andy Lindis taking the day off today. Our friend Luke Panik is filling in for Andy today. And Luke, before we broke, I wanted to pose the question from this listener. They want to know your opinion on these under-deck ceiling systems. What are they asking about here?
Well, what can happen is, especially homes that have a walkout basement where you go out a patio door and your deck is over your head. That's typically where we see these is that they want to put some chairs and a sofa down there or whatever, and they want to have some rain and water protection so you can hang out underneath the deck. Pretty common request. So, putting a ceiling. For that, if you're underneath it, it's the ceiling. And what we call it is when you're on the deck, it's the underdeck. So it's the underside of the deck that creates a drainage plane for water to go away. The biggest thing people need to understand about these is that they are not waterproof. They are not a roof. They are not a rubber membrane. So they are not perfectly waterproof. They'll drain the water. But if you're expecting them to never have a drip or a leak, your expectations are wrong. And it's because they're assembled in pieces with channels, and then you have freeze and thaw, and so it's just a hard situation to get water to drain perfectly. So understand that they're not waterproof; they're a drainage system. There are several manufacturers of them. There's probably three or four popular ones. The one that we use, if you want a nice finished look, is called Inside Out, made by a company called Quality Edge. I think that's the best one. But we also have done it where we just put steel, buy shed steel, put up purlins that are opposite direction of the joist. As you put the purlins on, you use a different thickness so that there's a little bit of slope to the steel and you screw steel up. So it can be very simple and it can be more complex. But that's the concept and that's what they're designed to do. And then sometimes people will screen them in and make a screen room down there even. And so there's a whole different range of details to those, but that's basically the nuts and the bolts.
All right. This is kind of related to this next text that came in following. This listener is looking to cover the joists on the underside of the deck due to a patio underneath. Any thoughts or concerns? And does Lindis offer this service? I wonder what they want to cover the joists.
That's essentially the same conversation.
It is.
Yep, exact same thing. Yep.
All right.
Yep, and we do it. We do it. And the salesman's going to tell you right away, make sure you understand that this isn't waterproof. It's a drainage system.
All right. Here's a listener. He heard you talking about the Cabot product, the Australian timber oil. This listener says, I used that product on my pressure-treated pine deck, and it feels slippery when dry, but great when wet. Is there anything I can do about it? Texter wants to know.
That I don't know. It's pretty smooth wood, evidently, and it does have a touch of sheen to it when it's new. I suspect that over a year or 6 months or a few weathering seasons, that's going to go away. But, I think that just is what it is.
Occasionally.
Mine doesn't feel slippery at all, I must say. Mine doesn't. I don't have that as a sentiment. Now, maybe the wood that I have is rougher on the surface. But
it could very well be. Interesting. I'm thinking about the another question we had. And I know you're privy to that information, but the maintenance program that Lindis offers that Andy has spoken about, can you address that a little bit and kind of fill in what this listener wants to know. They've heard Andy mention this maintenance program. What is that about, briefly?
Yeah, basically, it's you have to have someone from Lindus come out once a year and analyze the house and do a kind of a diagnostic of the whole kit and caboodle. You know, starting from looking at the roof to looking at the exterior, looking at things in the inside, just getting an overall comprehensive view of the house. If there's time, and we allot some time for odds and ends to be repaired while he's there, if he could do it. I believe they do like a three-hour visit, and then they give you a report on the house and organize the projects via, you know, here are some suggestions of what's most urgent. You know, for example, if you've got a problem with your roof, that's quickly going to be urgent because we want to keep water. It's protecting everything. So some things are, you know, almost like medical for your house, and some things are cosmetic for your house. So we can help you prioritize those of what you should put on the forecast in the future, what's urgent, so on and so forth. So that's what we do. And a lot of times people don't know all of the things that Lindus is able to do. So they just think they hired us for gutters and they thought we just did gutters. And we may, you know, we might be able to help you with your bathroom, or, you know, we can do an addition. And people just didn't know that we did that. So that's another reason that people will learn, oh, you know, we didn't know that you guys did all of this work. So
yeah,
that's the purpose of it, and to help people. Because if you stay ahead of these projects, oftentimes they're less expensive and we can do a better job. And sometimes people just don't know. So that's what our experts do. We spend our most experienced guys out there to do that. So we've gotten a lot of great reviews from it. We've gotten a lot of great, we've been able to help people minimize the project and take care of it before it gets real expensive.
Yeah, that's being really proactive. I really love the idea. It's a great idea. Now, this listener needs a new shower door, but they cannot find anyone interested in doing that project for them. And I know some jobs are small to some folks, but what would you tell this listener if you are talking to them on an aircraft, say, I need a new shower door. Does Lindus do this, or who would you find for me?
Well, you know, if it's just a glass shower door, you can talk with just glass companies. For example, I've used one up here in the north, in the Grand Rapids, where I did a tile shower, but I didn't want to mess with the door. You can have glass companies that will come out and they'll just do that door. If that's all involved with the project, that'd probably be my recommendation. If it's a project that you can do with something else in the bathroom, maybe. A lot of companies will have a minimum job that they require because it's a day for the guys. It's, you know, two people got to go there, spend the day. So it's understandable that companies can't afford to do some projects that are just, you know, half-hour jobs. But this is a good one, I think, where you can call a glass company and just have the glass company take care of the glass shower door.
I think that's a great idea, yeah. I know we have a couple of minutes to go in the show. A listener heard us talking about porches, and he or she and their spouse thinking about a three- or four-season porch. But their question is about what windows. Evidently, there might be a little discussion going on about what kind of window, not necessarily a brand, but like casement, double hung. What would you recommend if somebody's thinking about a three-season or four-season porch? Does it matter? What would you recommend type of window?
Well, when I'm sitting at their dining room table, we'll look at the windows that they have in their house now. So if they've got double hung windows all the way around the house, I'll say, hey, you know, we may want to consider double hungs here with your porch, so that it marries well with the look of the house. If they have casement windows in their house, you may want to switch to casement, you know, put casement windows on the porch. So it just depends. If they have sliders in their house, I'm not going to recommend sliders because I just don't like the way the tracks fill up with sliders. For me personally, that the outside pane slides back and forth, the track gets dirty, and it's really frustrating. So I rarely do I suggest slider windows. Also, typically in porches, people want a lot of glass, and that makes the windows really big. And to move a big slider only helps the chiropractor. So you want to use casement windows there. You want to use casement windows there if you want to maximize the glass, if it makes sense. But those are the things I consider when I give people advice on windows.
And if you're looking, excuse me, for a porch, maybe a new deck, get a hold of Linda's. Maybe it is gutters or siding, whatever the case may be. And again, I mentioned it earlier, that first visit is always free. Luke, we're plumb out of time. It was great to talk with you. Always a pleasure having you on the radio. Happy New Year to you guys at Linda's and your family as well, Luke.
Well, to you too, Denny, and thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. We'll do this again. I know we will. Thank you. Luke Panik, he is the deck and porch specialist at Linda's Construction. We're facing maybe 23 degrees. That's for a daytime high today. We drop overnight tonight to 15 for your Sunday tomorrow. Looks pretty nice, near 29 degrees, but listen to these temperatures. Monday near 38, Tuesday near 42, then we'll get back to kind of a normal, whatever that is, this time of year. By the end of the week, we'll hit 32 again. Right now, here in the Twin Cities, there's a few clouds, 21 degrees. Denny Long thanking you. And by the way, thank you, Ryan Perpich, for producing our last 4 hours. We will see you again next week. Thanks for listening here. News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us.